Countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal, bringing you expert analysis on what the new CAP deal means for you and your farm payments.
You're listening to Countrywide on RTE Radio 1, and I'm Brenda Donoghue. Now, Hannah Quinn Mulligan farms a herd of Hertford cattle with her grandmother in County Limerick. Curious about other enterprises that might complement their farming operation, she went to meet dairy farmer Mark Newman. He milks 300 cows on a farm where his family have been for generations at Coolmore on the edge of Cork Harbour. But his real passion is bees, and with more than 40 hives of native Irish black bees, aspiring beekeeper Hannah donned her bee suit and went to see what the buzz was all about.
So I'm just opening up the crown board now, so we'll just get to see.
Oh wow!
Get to see the bees,
and they are starting to come out. They know you're here anyway. They're
sussing you out. So I'm just going to give them a small bit of smoke. So I'm just going to let the smoke just drift over the top of the bees, and they just respond to that because the smoke is meant to sort of simulate a forest fire, and they then will go down into the hive and they will start to gorge themselves. In the event of there being a fire and they have to fly off or move or whatever. And this sort of keeps them nice and calm. And that's what it's all about, keeping the bees nice and calm.
I feel like the bees know you. It is very calm.
They definitely do get to know you. And I think I find it's very important to not get too excited about washing clothes too often. So I sort of wear the same bee suit every day. And I feel that they can sense me coming along and they kind of know me and things, rather than having sort of smells of washing powders and, or perhaps I often recommend, not to use a strong perfume or aftershave when you approach a hive, because they won't be used to that sort of smell.
It's an artificial smell for them, essentially.
It's artificial.
Lay off on the aftershave.
Yeah,
the queen bee doesn't like it.
Yeah. So what I'm doing now, just on the edge of the sort of brood area, so I'm still just looking at the honey, which is on the outside, really. And actually, there's a big lump of honey there now. That's a lot of that is sealed. I always think they're very clever because, they seal their honey, so they get the moisture when they collect the nectar from the plants. The nectar can be as high as sort of 80% water, and they bring it back and they put it into cells and they vap off the moisture, to bring it down to 17%. So they bring it down from 80 down to 17%. And that then will preserve the honey, because the honey won't preserve unless it's less than about 20. Otherwise it ferments. And otherwise we end up with mead. We don't want mead in there, so we just...
Not right now, no. But it is this beautiful, soft, golden colour. And there's a fascinating history as well in terms of, a long time ago, before people had sugar. We think of sugar as being in everything now, but
yes.
When sugar didn't exist, honey was such a valuable commodity. And did I hear that farmers even used to pay their rent in honey?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they paid their rent in cows, sheep and honey. It was their sugar supply. And, when they were baking and things, they often incorporated honey into their baking and cooking and eating, yeah.
What inspired that love of bees? Why did you want to take it up?
Yeah, I suppose there was two main reasons, really. First of all, my mother was a beekeeper, so I was always in and around bees, helping her from time to time. And then later on, I decided to get my own bees. Like a lot of hobbies, they start off small, and sometimes they get out of control. And I think this is probably an out-of-control hobby that really takes up way too much of my time. But, of course, it is a summertime occupation. And I think in farming, I spend my winter calf rearing, certainly the springtime calf rearing, and then it's beekeeping then for the summertime. And farming does get a bit sort of quieter during the summer when cows are out. Obviously, during the winter, when they're inside, things are very, very busy. But there is a bit more time sort of during the summer months.
Just the yard that we're in is utterly fascinating, and that we have a huge old stone mill in front of us and giant corn stores as well. They kind of look like sleeping golems, those clay giants in children's fairy tales.
In 1722... the brown rat came to Ireland, and they absolutely caused havoc. And you'll see around the edges of the corn stands there's actually a ledge, a stone sticking out, and it sticks out about sort of 9 or 10 inches. And of course, if you can imagine a rat trying to climb up the walls and then it can't get back around the stone up into the sheaves, of course, which would have been very nourishing for them. So of course they couldn't get up into the sheaves, and the sheaves were preserved then for later on in the season to be thrashed.
So we've come back now and we are going to get to try some of this honey. I'll let you do the honours in opening the lid.
So we'd like to call this raw honey because we feel that it's as little intervention as possible. So it's still got all the pollen in it and might have little bits of wax in it and things like that.
That's delicious.
And you should get a few different tastes as you taste it. You get a sort of a initial taste and then a few aftertastes.
And I know you have here the native Irish black bee and you're really passionate about breeding it. Is there something that you would like to see, say the next common agricultural policy is coming up? Is there any kind of a thing that you'd like to see where farmers were incentivised to maybe bring beehives onto their land?
The Irish black bee is quite an endangered sort of species of bee, and I think bringing in imports will not help to keep them pure, and you know, will hybridise them. And there's quite a few sort of yellow bees being brought into the country, and this is hybridising the Irish black bee. And it's been there's work being done in Galway University, and it shows that that the Irish black bee is actually the sort of the stronghold of the European black bee, because we're on the outside of Europe, obviously, within the rest of Europe, it's been diluted and hybridised. And we have some of the purest Irish, purest European dark bee left in Europe.
So that's why it's really important to keep it as much as possible.
For sure, yeah. In fact, it's, the first thing that should be done really is to have an absolute ban on any imports, and really just to concentrate on the bee that we have here.
And I have this feeling that there are bees all over the studio. But that was Hannah Quinn Mulligan talking to Mark Newman there. If you want to taste that honey, you'll have to do it yourself. You can find out about ordering your own bees from Mark at coolmorebees.com.